This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. On a Wednesday, busy show today. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live downtown at the D, Fremont Street. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Hope you're having a nice week. As we do customarily on a Wednesday, welcome in professional handicapper forever there, one of the best handicappers in the business with a great reputation, Scott Spritzer. You can find him, Doc Sports, docsports.com, and on Twitter, at Scott Wins. As we say hi to Scott, looking dapper as always. He was driving in and he heard our conversation about who's going to end up being a grandfather first amongst the three of us. Now, it's three single men that don't necessarily have prospects right now, so I don't think anybody's going to be on the board anytime soon. However, just based on age, I would have to make Dustin the favorite to be a grandfather first. You, most likely, if we're being fair, Scott, are going to be a grandfather before the three of us. Have you put serious thought into this, my friend?
Wow, I'm speechless for the first time ever.
See, I just leveled you.
My daughter's 19 and she's a sophomore in college, and somebody's going to be hurt if anything happens before that.
Yeah, you.
she's got to win about 10 years, and we've had that discussion many, many times. So, I feel sorry for that guy. if it happens any sooner. No, it's I tell you what, it's like, you kind of want it, but I kind of want to see my kid get her career going and all that kind of stuff before anything like that happens. And I'm hoping she's got her head screwed on straight for that. But, I don't know, man. I heard Dustin saying he's not getting any return calls on apps and all that kind of stuff. What happened to the old days in Vegas, man? It used to be, just go to the clubs and go to the bars and hang out on the strip a little bit, and,
You mean speak to someone in person first?
I know, it's scary as hell.
Terrifying.
Well, first of all, part of the problem is you've got to navigate the damn stands here, F1, to be able to get to the
True.
Strip. It's only going to take you an hour and a half each way.
Factored into the handicap there, Patrick, the F1 stands.
That is the first time in probably 8+ years I've ever seen Scott Spritzer for 1 second speechless. That's it.
You know what we did, the best way to meet the opposite sex back in the day, and I'm talking back in the days of yore, late 80s, all that kind of stuff, when I was like 20, 21 out here in Vegas, we used to go, the Dunes Hotel used to have a joint called the Oasis. Well, first of all, they had this like male review show, and all these girls would hang out there, and then they'd come pouring out in the Oasis Lounge. And I got to know the drummer of the Coasters, Cordell Gunter and the Coasters real well. Next thing I know, me and my buddies are on stage with the Coasters like every other week, singing, playing sax, all that kind of stuff. That's the way to do it, man. But you don't get the lounges anymore. You got to pay through the nose to get into any place. Back then it was like $2 rum and cokes, whole lot of that. And then you get up on stage, and next thing you know, they're everywhere. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing, Patrick.
the Coasters, I'm guessing, a punk band from back in the day?
Yep. Yakety yak, right? So
exactly. Well, it is stay tuned for the grandfather conversation. More to come, hopefully. we shall see. We were having a little fun. I don't know if you got involved. We got a first pitch coming up, boys, in just about 4.5 minutes. You probably have the TVs on there, so maybe you guys have a better estimation of exactly when it's going to go down. Snicker was playing a little gamesmanship as far as who he's going to start. He ends up going Bryce Elder, and it's Nola. Again, you're not going to see that plus next to the Braves. Not very many times this year. I think it was just 12 times this year, Scott. You see plus 107. We're showing 117 on Nola and the Phillies at home. Series tied up at 1 and a total of 9.
Yeah, it's just, this is, I think, an impossible game, at least for me to handicap. I was looking at the games last night. I landed on one, which we can talk about in a minute. It's tonight's game between the D-backs and Dodgers. But I'm not crazy about Nola. And I talked about it last week about these teams that can hit home runs and go up against pitchers with high home run rates. And, the Braves broke all kinds of records this year. I think it was 307 regular season home runs. And the Phillies weren't bad, but they were like 70 or 80 home runs off from what the Braves did. So I tend to follow that trend or that angle. And again, the other night, it was one of those games that you really like because I had Phillies first five. And then, of course, they win first five and they end up losing full game. And that always makes you feel a little bit smarter, even if you're not, or makes you look a little bit smarter. But this particular game, and I was asking the guys when I sat down, I'm like, I just can't get involved in this one. To me, it just looks like total 50-50 flip of the coin.
Patrick, I played the run line of plus 165 here. I get where Scott's coming from, tough playoff game. But, guys, we talked about it. I know you're on the Braves over 4.5. Dustin's on the Braves on this game. Had some success yesterday with the Rangers run line. I'm going to ride this Atlanta offense. I just feel like Austin Riley rescued this team from the mat, and I think it continues against Nola with this first five in the lineup. I think you're going to see several runs scored by these guys at the top of the lineup today.
Who has the Braves over in the first 4.5? Was that you, Patrick?
I did. I got a plus money this morning, Scott.
That's my favorite of what we've just talked about. I like their team total over 4.5 if I had to play something here.
Beautiful. Love to hear it. Dustin, did you have you want to put an exclamation or kind of finish off the conversation with Braves Phillies?
No, I just think the momentum aspect, and I thought we were going to get a different price on Elder. I was hoping we'd get a little bit more back, but I bet on him a lot in the first half. I even had a Cy Young ticket on him at one point where he was like the ERA leader in all of baseball for a while. He's a guy who can shut teams down. And if you look at the numbers, Nola versus this Braves lineup, a lot of these guys have good numbers against him. I think your bet's going to end up being probably the easiest one to cash. Amal and I might be sweating it out till the end.
You know, I've been following along ever since you gave that stat about the team that out-homers the other. It's like since 2018, it's like 82%. It's incredible
crazy.
That you the first I had heard of it was when you joined us here on Sharp Money and you discussed that, Scott. But it's been remarkable.
Yeah, and it's one of those stats. I know going into a few days ago, it was like 133-23, and I forget what it is now. But it cashed the first five preseason games. And again, it's the team that hits more home runs in that game than their opponent. It was like 133-23. And you're like, all right, well, how do you know who's going to hit more home runs than the other team? Yeah, the best way to do it is just look at those big differentials when it comes to, you know, the team and their opponent, if you can find it, in this case, the Braves, that hits a lot more home runs than their team over the course of the regular season. I also include the final month, the final 30 days of the regular season to make sure one team didn't go into a home run hitting drought. And then what I'll do to take it one step further is I'll start looking at pitchers in that game that involves one team with a big differential at the plate. I'll look at pitchers who potentially give up more home runs because their home run rate is much higher than their opponent. And if it all comes through, it's a decent-sized play for me. And, you know, it's almost like I'm thinking too much because if you just took the teams that hit more home runs in a game than their opponent, they just win. So maybe throwing out some of that pitcher stuff to make life a little bit easier and get a few more plays is the way to go. But it has been pretty phenomenal for five or six seasons now.
It's been tremendous. A game that you do have a play on, it's the late one tonight. That's why living on the West Coast is the best. I just want to just reiterate. We get a 6:07 first pitch. You get a 9:07 first pitch on the East Coast. Anywho, I digress. Lynn and Fott, two guys that have given up a bunch of bombs this year. The rookie going for the Diamondbacks. How about the Diamondbacks just to start, Scott? They've beaten Burns, Peralta, Kershaw, and Miller. 4-0 in the postseason. Just an absolute run for this team right now.
You know, I can remember after their horrible season a couple of years ago when they had a ton of injuries, and I was like, man, I hope this organization sticks with Torey Lovullo, because I really dig this guy's way of managing. He's a player's manager, but he also expects discipline, and I'm glad they hung on to him, because now we're seeing the fruits of the labor. But I'm back in Arizona in the first five innings tonight. I took plus $1.15, and I think it's down a little bit from where it was last night. But you look at the Dodgers at the plate, man. They've gone into a funk, and maybe there's, you know, it's this time off they had from the end of the season until now. But Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, these guys are 1-for-13 the first two games of the series. And I know Brandon Fott, it's tough to plunk your money down on this guy. He's been no great shakes, and I'm being kind. But he's not facing the Dodger hit squad that we saw 30 days ago. I have no fear in going against Lance Lynn, that's for sure. And he struggled before the trade. He struggled since he was acquired by the Dodgers. 6.07 ERA, 1.49 whip away from his home bump. He's got a 2.54 home runs per nine innings pitched ratio. That plays into kind of what we're talking about a little bit. But I love the top three guys in this order. I mean, you got Ketel Marte, Corbin Carroll, Tommy Pham. These guys went 7-15 in game one with three extra base hits, three RBI. They were 5-for-12 in game two. That's 12 of 27 from the top of your order, .444 batting average. Carroll was walked three times also in game two. And then you look at the Dodgers, Betts, Freeman, Smith, 1-for-12, six left on base in game two, 2-for-9, three left on base in game one. That's 3 of 21 and nine left on base. And I haven't even talked about Muncy yet, who's 1-for-7. I mean, your top four batters in this Dodger lineup that were so strong all season are a combined 4-for-28 in this series. I went back and I looked at the final couple regular season games. This started then. Betts and Freeman went 3-for-14 in the final two regular season games against San Francisco. To me, it's a situation where I'm going to go against them until they break out of this funk, and they might not in time to stave off the sweep. So I did go first five. I got a sweat fought. I saw something when I walked into the D here on the board that was a little tempting, but I didn't plunk my money down on it, which was the D-backs plus $1.45 to be the first team to score. But with Fott on the mound, you know, it could be 1-0 Dodgers after the first inning. And, of course, the Dodgers get the first at-bat, so that makes it a little bit tough, which is why that price is where it's at.
Fott, he is, yeah, I think, Amal, you mentioned it earlier. It's somebody that doesn't scare you either. But then again, the big guy who's a little bit higher on Lynn, these are two pitchers that aren't going to scare anybody going into this matchup today.
Yeah, guys, that's why you've seen a 9.5 total for a playoff game. I mean, granted, Chase Field generally hitter-friendly, but when you look at these two guys, can have some runs.
I take offense to that. I think Scott Spreitzer would be terrified of Lance Lynn if he found out that was his future son-in-law.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? The amount of money.
Go.
No shot. No shot.
Well, the paycheck's not bad.
That's exactly. You know. Scott's like, hey, I'm done.
I'm okay with the paycheck. And I might be able to hit him. I might be able to hit him at the plate, you know.
He'd take up the pool there at the crib. I know that.
He's
a big
boy.
Fill up the pool. Yeah, it's a big boy. There's no doubt about that. Okay. So, well, are we underway? It looks like, yes, we are underway in Philly. That crowd's going to be nuts. The Braves-Phillies game 3, series tied at 1s. Of course, you've got game 4 coming up with the Astros and Twins. Astros lead 2-1, and then the Snakes look to close out the Dodgers late night. When we return, little college football. Scott Spreitzer in studio.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. That includes professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer. Sort by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. You want to tell them, of course, for VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for only $19 for your first month over at vsin.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back here, Sharp Money, just taking a look to see if the Phillies got out of it. They did. Runners on first and second, two out. Looks like Nola got out of a little bit of a minor jam. So we go to the middle of the first. The Braves-Phillies tied up at nothing right now. Got you back. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, on Wednesdays, we welcome in professional handicapper Doc Sports, docsports.com, Scott Spreitzer. And right before you came in, we had Nick Elodion. He was the former defensive coordinator there at Oregon for years and years. And he said he felt like Oregon was the more balanced team. Let's discuss this matchup because I know you have a play on the total. Oregon, Washington. Washington's laying 3, Scott. But you're going to point to the total here, 67.5 right now.
Yeah, you know, it's the Ducks have yet to face a halfway decent defense if I want to be negative towards Oregon, and you're kind of splitting hairs and all that kind of good stuff. Washington's defensive numbers are certainly not elite, but they own the best defensive roster and the best athletes, quickest defense that Oregon is going to have faced year to date. So I might be a little contrarian here when I look at this total. Stanford, when I look at them, you know, you're talking about an offense that just couldn't get the job done so far this season, 130th, or I should say defense, 130th against the pass, 123rd in total yards allowed. Colorado's defense, 130th in total yards, 129th in passing, 98th against the run. Hawaii, horrible against the run. Portland State, they don't even count at this level. Texas Tech, 98th against the pass. So Bo Nix is a Heisman contender, but let's see him do it against an ultra-talented, quick roster. And then on the flip side with Oregon, you got the defense that's 5th against the pass, 6th in total yards allowed per game, excellent at stopping the run. And Washington's great through the air. Michael Penix might also be a guy who could win the Heisman, but they don't run the football. And I think Oregon should be able to slow UW's kind of one-dimensional offense down a little bit. I think I'm contrarian on this, and talked to a few people and they're all jumping on the over thinking the total should be like 71. I think it stays under this total of 67, 67.5, guys.
I like the call there in terms of where you come out with this Oregon defense. Patrick, you know, one thing I kind of overlooked with Bo Nix are his numbers. I didn't realize he was playing this well. And as well as Caleb Williams has played and Michael Penix has played, Bo Nix has done it against a little bit tougher competition. Colorado's gotten off to a good start of 4-2. Texas Tech, that was a good road win in Lubbock. I mean, he's completing almost 80.5% of his passes, 15 touchdowns, just the one INT. And I think his mobility presents some problems. We talked about that with Nick Aliotti earlier. This should be a ton of fun. I got to tell you, this should just be, you said it best earlier, this could be the game of the college football season.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Oregon, Washington, 67.5. So stay under that. Grab the half, by the way. We're showing 67. You can see a 67 in the market. Shop for the best number on the total. Did you have a lean? I know it's not official, but I'm just curious if you had a lean with Washington laying three here, Scott.
Yeah, I do. Huskies are a lean here for me, laying the field goal in this particular spot. And that's no, you know, knock against Oregon. Like I said, their defensive numbers have been pretty good. It's just the fact that they really haven't played anybody yet with great skill players outside of Colorado. And then Colorado's offensive line is such a disaster and so bad in the trenches that they couldn't match up against the Ducks. So I think this will be an interesting matchup. I do lean towards Washington. I think three is fair, but definitely on that under 67.5.
By the way, guys, both teams coming off of a bye. This is just ideal. I mean, the winner of this game, in my opinion, I don't know where you guys sit on the Heisman, the winning quarterback of this game, let's say he goes 3 or 4 touchdown passes, no INTs, or at least only one turnover, I think is the front runner for New York City.
Interesting. Mr. Heisman is Dustin Sweetelson. Did you have a take on that big guy?
No, I still think Blake Corum has a chance.
So stubborn.
No, look, I think even if Washington loses, Penix's numbers are going to be so crazy, he will be invited. Like, his numbers are going to be absurd at the end of the year, as long as he stays healthy. Bo Nix should be in the mix for sure. I have one that I bet earlier today, though. I was on the phone with Amal when I bet it, and I don't think it's a crazy one when you look at the numbers and based on how they looked last week. I got him at 45-1. Carson Beck, for as slow as we've been talking about the Georgia offense being, they opened it up against Kentucky, and they started throwing the ball around. His numbers are not far off from some of the other leaders, and at 45-1, this team should be undefeated, a light schedule for most of the rest of the way. There's a very good chance his numbers will be on par on the number one team in the country. If he's invited to the ceremony, your ticket's live.
Will he get the invite? That is the question. All right, let's continue. Because Scott's got a bunch of college games. I want to make sure I get to them all. Tomorrow night, West Virginia, Houston. West Virginia's laying 3 on the road, 49.5 on the total, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we'd have done this show 12 hours ago, because when I sent these games that I wanted to talk about to Dustin about midnight Pacific time last night, that total was 51.5. I woke up this morning. I actually got up early today, Patrick. You'd be proud. I got up about 9:45 a.m. So anyway.
Were you sleepwalking?
Well, you know, it's still technically up and out of bed. So, but anyway, this total was 51.5 last night. And when I set these plays to Dustin, it's down to 49.5. So I'm guessing Dustin agreed with me and then slammed this number overnight. But most books started taking action at 52, 52.5. The Circa opened 54.5. Now it's a little bit tough to recommend this under, but West Virginia, as far as the team itself, is kind of flying under the radar right now. They lost that opener to Penn State. They've won 4 in a row since, and that loss to Penn State doesn't look bad at all at this point. They run and they stop the run, which everybody knows if they've been listening to me forever, knows that's what I like in college football. They're not one of my 2-to-1 ratio teams in that neighborhood, but not too far off. They completely shut down TCU and Texas Tech. Houston's defense couldn't do much at all in losses to those teams, but I think West Virginia controls the tempo, which is why I play this under the
interesting one here. I'm never thrilled with laying points on the road, but Scott makes a good point. You look at Penn State, they're in top 3 in the nation in defensive statistics across the board, number 3 total defense, but more importantly, scoring defense. But the Mountaineers have played very, very well. I can't remember the last time the Mounties are sitting at 4-1 and nobody has said a word about them. You also referenced the two matchups. They both have two common opponents already, TCU, Texas Tech. And Houston and Dana Holgorsen, by the way, it looks like he might be gone at the end of the year based on the way this team is performing. I think it's a pretty short number. If you like the Mounties, better play them. I think Scott will get to 3 by kickoff tomorrow.
I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, Neil Brown all of a sudden looks like he's going to keep his job, and Holgorsen could be out at Houston. Let's continue. Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, breaking down the college football card here. Michigan State Rutgers. Okay, so this is coming up on Saturday. I got five. DraftKings took it off the board. Five Rutgers laying it, hosting the Spartans, 39.5 on the total, Scott.
Yeah, I've seen 4.5s and fives out there. Sparty, you know, this has been almost an auto fade for me since the Mel Tucker situation started, and I jumped on Washington for a couple of reasons. First of all, they're a national title contender. Michigan State is not. Secondly, it was the start of that scandal with Mel Tucker. That was the first game he missed, and Washington blew him out 41-7. Played against them and won with Maryland. Iowa didn't have enough offense to get over the number. They did lose their quarterback, for what it's worth. I think that was like the second series of the game against Sparty, but they still outscored him 13-0 in the fourth quarter. Michigan State looked worn out, not all that interested in playing four quarters in that game. It looked early on like maybe this little settling down of things for Michigan State by D'Antonio coming back was going to help them. But even the Iowa Hawkeyes with absolutely zero offense and a second-string quarterback was able to win 26-16 in that one. Rutgers has revenge, for what it's worth. Real quick, I wanted to mention revenge in college football and pro. I do a show on Wednesday nights with Rob Zadichka, and he used to be a Nebraska Cornhusker when they were winning championships under Osborne. He was an offensive lineman. He played for the Giants for 6 years. I asked him last week, how long does the revenge motivation last when you kick off a football game? And it was what I suspected. He goes, about two plays. He goes, then it's all about meeting your X's, O's, and taking care of business. I think probably the preparation that week leading to that game might have guys motivated. Maybe they prep a little bit harder for that team that they lost to the previous season in some weird way. But I think I agree with Rob, and how could you not? He was a former NFL player for half a dozen years, that once the game gets going a few plays into it, that stuff is gone and out of your head. It's who's prepped best, doesn't make the mistakes. But so when I say Rutgers has revenge, I wanted to kind of throw that caveat out there. They aren't much through the year. Gavin Wimsatt is about a 52% passer on the season, but they run well. They stop the run for the most part. The defense is top five in a couple of key defensive metrics, including yards per play allowed. And we also have the big head coaching advantage here with Schiano. I think Rutgers wins by 10. I'm going to continue that anti-Michigan State play until they beat me a couple of times.
Patrick, I'll tell you what concerns me a little bit in this game, and I get where Scott's coming from, the anti-Michigan State sentiment, but I tell you what, this Rutgers offense, you're going to have to hold your breath. The one thing that concerns me a little bit, laying five with a team that's inept offensively.
Hold your breath and hold your nose. Both offenses in this one. Michigan State, Rutgers, that's for sure. 39.5 on the total. Exciting football, no doubt, there in Piscataway. When we return, Kansas, Oklahoma State, plus we'll dive into the NFL card. Scott Spreitzer, Doc Sports, docsports.com in studio.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. As a warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Okay, we got you back here, Sharp Money. I'm all Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher on a Wednesday. That means Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, Doc Sports, docsports.com, at Scott Wins with two T's on Twitter. Just taking a look here, an update. We're top of second, looks like two out. So Nola okays so far as the Braves and Phillies knotted up at zeros. We'll keep you updated as the baseball continues. Scott, we're going to close out the college football card with one more play here, and that is Kansas at Oak State Stillwater. Kansas is laying 3 on the road and 56 on the total.
Yeah, you can really take advantage of a couple of books who have really bad opening lines just moving forward. Those lines, of course, are gone. While the sharp books open this total around 57.5, a couple of the books were around 64 when it opened. They're lower limit books, of course, but they had it at 7 points higher than some of the key books around Las Vegas, for instance. And if you had access to the books and not at low limits, that'd be great. You got nearly 8 points of value if we played the under in this one. But You know, putting a Kansas win over UCF, Central Florida, a little bit into perspective, if you saw that game, Central Florida looked like they were going to get up and down the field without a problem. They had the early game injury to their quarterback. They were really moving well. Had the injury in the first quarter, and they not only lose their starting quarterback for the game, they lose their third leading rusher on the season with McLean. He averages over 8 yards per carry. He tried to come back a couple of the times, didn't quite work. And they looked stuck in neutral after that. They had like one or two more decent drives, and the rest of the game was pretty ugly. So you had that. You had Kansas getting the nice win over BYU, strong second half. But their so-so wins over Nevada and Illinois have made me not buy into the Kansas Jayhawks of this year yet. Their defensive numbers, 81st against the run. They give up 25 points per game. And that's really weak when you consider the schedule they played thus far. They're okay. They're not great through the year. Jason Bean looks like he's going to be a quarterback again, 17 of 33 as a starter and under 7 yards per pass attempt thus far. The good news, he hasn't thrown any picks. But again, man, look at the road games already. They played Reno and Texas. We'll give them a break on Texas. They found out shortly before the game, apparently, that Daniels wasn't going to play. But they go up to Reno. There's 6.5 minutes to go in the game. They're tied at 24. They're in a fight for their life with one of the worst teams in college football. And that bothers me a little bit. I don't even care if you have a flat performance, you're looking ahead, or you had a big game the previous week. You can't be tied with Reno with 6.5 minutes to go if you're a true contender in a Power 5 conference. Oklahoma State slammed the door on K-State's offense last week. They made Will Howard look pretty bad. They made some changes in that bye week, and I thought that really helped. So I'm going to back Oklahoma State here. It's probably, of everything we've talked about thus far, including the baseball game tonight, this would be my least favorite. But grabbing a field goal with the Cowboys, I think, is a decent way to go here.
I love this call, Scott. I think Oklahoma State was an absolute ridiculous number we saw against Kansas State at home last week. And by the way, you said Will Howard. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, we talked about Mario Cristobal and Chris Klieman. I don't know if he had Oklahoma State on the money line or what. Mm-hmm. Some of the decisions in that game were fireable offenses as well.
Oh, yeah. Has your daughter been to a Reno game yet? She's like,
no?
They stink. You know what they do? There's a group of them. They go to the tailgate with the students, and then they go back to their apartment as soon as everybody walks into the stadium.
That's a pro move.
That is a pro move.
It's a bad look for the football
it
program.
Is. And that's a football town. I mean, gosh, look what Chris Ault did, Hall of Fame coach, with that program. They were really good. They were in bowl games every year. I was going to go up this weekend for the UNLV game and drag her to her first college football game in Reno, and then she's so against it that she told me she's coming home for the weekend. So there you go.
I thought you were going to object because then you had to sit through a UNLV Nevada game.
Well, UNLV's not bad. I'm telling you what, right now, this guy Marion, the offensive coordinator for the Rebels, 2 to 3 years from now, he's a head coach somewhere. This guy's the real deal. Young guy, too,
UNLV,
like 35.
Are they still perfect against the spread this year? They've been awesome for betters, UNLV,
and 4-1. Yeah, the only loss was to Michigan, and they covered that number, although Michigan probably dialed it down after up 35-0. But it's fun to see a team that's competitive. You know, Barry Odom did some good things at Mizzou when he was a head coach there. But this offensive coordinator, Brennan Marion, I believe is his name, he's 35, and he's had a lot of assistant jobs up until this one. I am so impressed with what he's doing with the – I don't want to rip him and say the lack of talent, but he doesn't have great talent, obviously, and he's getting the job done, even with a backup quarterback.
Do you have an opinion? We're showing 9.5 with UNLV laying it at Reno.
It's got to be UNLV or nothing, because for the last 25 years, I've said the other side of a UNLV game or nothing, and now it's kind of flipped. It's like there's no way I'm backing Reno with what they've got. I mean, when Jay Norvell left this program, he destroyed this program. He told kids to transfer. They lost like 45 players when he left. He took coaches with him. You know, I don't know what was going on behind closed doors. I do know it's the lowest paying job in the Mountain West Conference, and he was upset. He wasn't getting more money, so he took the job at Colorado State. But, man, I thought it was classless. And, again, this is my own personal opinion with what he did to that program. And that had nothing to do with my daughter going there, because I couldn't care less about that stuff. And she hadn't gone there yet. I thought she was going to go to American in D.C. So, anyway, I just think he was not too classy with what he did to that Reno program.
No, he was spiteful. Yep. There's no doubt about that. Let's transition a little bit here to the NFL and talk about a rush prop with the Broncos and Javonte Williams. A bit of an interesting spot here, Scott.
Yeah, it is. A couple of days ago, I'm talking about Javonte Williams' over-under rushing yardage prop. He, of course, plays for Denver. He's been banged up. It was 38.5 last night. I saw as low as 36, 35.5 today, a couple of hours ago. He may not play, but guess what? If he doesn't, you get your money back. If he does play, he's probably not going to be 100% healthy yet. And during the break, we were kind of, you know, knocking this one around a bit. Dustin made a great point that McLaughlin, one of the other two running backs that's going to see action for Denver in this one, is probably going to get the majority of the potential carries in this game. So if Williams plays, I'm going to be, you know, I think I'm going to be feeling pretty good about things by the time this game comes to an end. He's a 3.6 yards per carry rusher so far this season. That's when he's healthy. He's got the hip injury. And then as far as Casey is concerned, you know, they're 11th against the run. I really believe it's going to be tough for Javonte Williams if he plays to get more than 20, 25 yards. And again, this number keeps dropping. It started at 41.5, and it's all the way down to around 35.5, 36.
The actual side in total, that's tomorrow night. Remember, Thursday, week 6 opens up in the NFL. You've got 10.5 on the board, 47 on the total. Don't expect you to have an official play here, but do you have a lean either way?
Yeah, I don't have an official play, but I can tell you that I lean towards the under in this game. And again, you look at Kansas City, they might not have Travis Kelce. Has that been upgraded, that information today? But I saw questionable this morning and haven't looked since. But you might
I saw
not
that
have
he
Kelce.
Practiced. Sorry to interrupt quickly. Okay. He did practice yesterday, right, Dustin? You taped them up and he practiced. My assumption is that meant he was going to go, but I don't have an update today.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. The last update is questionable. Practice yesterday and today.
And I think this late, if he's listed as questionable, he's going to give it a go tomorrow. But he's probably not going to be 100% healthy. And then you got the receivers who have let this team down. I don't have the exact stats on me, but if you look at what Mahomes has done through these first few games this year compared to last year, the year before, all that stuff, it's a big drop-off. And it's not because Mahomes is dropping off. It's because his receivers aren't making the kind of plays or getting open in their patterns like they have since Mahomes has been there. So I think you're going to see an under. Listen, I'm no fan of Denver or anything they're doing right now. Russell Wilson is having a horrible season when it comes to the second half of games. He's the number one quarterback in the first half in the NFL in completion rate, and he's like close to dead last in every metric you can care about a quarterback in the second half of games. So I just don't think they're going to be able to do much on offense, Denver. And I think Kansas City ends up winning the game, obviously, but I don't want to lay the 10.5. Maybe a second half play on him if it's close at halftime.
Yeah, and it seems like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Sean Payton and Russell Wilson with that turnover late against the Jets, they were kind of squawking at each other as he was walking off the field. So this could get... This season could get very long very quickly for the Broncos, Scott.
What a humbling situation for Sean Payton. You know, I've never said a bad thing publicly about anybody I've ever met. I mean, if I met Charles Manson, you know, that might be a first. But the bottom line is that when it comes to people in the business, people that are handicappers and bettors and prognosticators in general, it just comes back to bite you in the rear end. We saw it with Sean Payton. He's absolutely correct. Nathaniel Hackett was pathetic last year as a head coach, but he's a darn good assistant coach and does some good things with defenses. And for him to come in and say that, boy, a humbling experience. But I can't back anything Denver's doing. You know, one of the things Sean Payton's kind of changed is they're not always losing close games anymore. They're getting blasted, you know, so that's not a good thing. And again, Russell Wilson doesn't seem to be able to make adjustments on the field, and it might be because of what's happening around him with his offensive line and receivers, but he's just been a disaster in the second half of these football games.
Beautiful. Scott, what's going on at Talk Sports? Are you still doing Thursdays and Fridays?
Thursday, Friday show. That's us against the spread. docsports.com. And we've had a really, by the way, thanks for mentioning that. We have a really nice reaction first 4 or 5 weeks we've been doing this now. And so we'll have about 8 to 10 games in the college football show on Thursday night. Friday night, we'll cover all Sunday and Monday NFL. And I'm having a blast with it. It's absolutely a blast. I get to talk about almost every game on the board. Well, every game in NFL and a bunch in college. And we're having a good time with it.
Well, it's great. If Scott Spritzer's involved, I'm always going to support it. Doc Sports, docsports.com, at Scott Wins with 2 T's on Twitter. Scott, thanks for driving down, getting past that F1 traffic. We'll see you. We'll see you next Wednesday, okay? Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Okay, here we go. Scott Spritzer, professional handicapper. We're going to come back, close some tabs, and, of course, the top 10 as well.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook. This season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It does appear that Nola's got his good stuff. So does Elder, though, as we speak right now. Top of three, one out, tied up at zeros there, the Braves and the Phillies. Of course, you've got the Astros Twins game four, first pitch coming up in about an hour and 20 minutes. So we'll keep you updated on the game that's in progress there in Philly as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson live from the D. Final segment of the show, we close the tabs. We get to the top 10. Anything else going on, boys? Anything either of you pressing wanted to get to before we start to close up the tabs?
Real quick, a tweet from Mecole Hardman. He's on the trading block for the Jets. Quote, I can't wait till I get a chance to really tell y'all what I really want to tell y'all. And this don't got nothing to do with my current situation either. Something's going on with him. He's not playing. He's on the trade block. And apparently he's going to write a tell-all book when it's all said and done.
Here's the best part. I didn't even remember Mecole Hardman was still on the Jets.
Hopefully it doesn't have to do with his mom and the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Mecole's mom and his and the quarterback.
Zach Wilson, that's his thing.
That would be something that's juicy. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Well, listen, I don't know if either of you have a play tonight on two pretty pitiful college football games. Big guy, I'm sure you do. Run around second for the Braves. Let's go. UTEP, Florida International. Florida International is laying 3.5, 43.5 on the total. Sam Houston State, my goodness. New Mexico State. New Mexico State down to 3.5 and 43 on the total.
I've got a first half under on UTEP FIU. UTEP has three hurt quarterbacks, two with concussions. As of this morning, we didn't know who was starting at quarterback for them. If it's the guy who came in last week, Cade McConnell, well, versus La Tech, he went 4 of 11. That's 36% for just 48 yards. Their defense is pretty good. They're not going to score. And on the other side for FIU, they don't have a very good offense either. 98th in the country in total offense, 86th rushing, 88th through the air. And their defense can limit what this awful UTEP team's going to do. I go first half under 21.5.
Okay. Good job, big guy. Just quickly, the Atlanta Braves used Groupons to sign Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr., and those two just teamed up to score a run in Philly. Acuna Jr. doubled, and then Albies drove him in with a single. So we'll take it as we try to get over that 4.5 on the team total for the Braves.
I'm also on the over in the other ugly game, Sam Houston State.
It's funny you say that. I was about to say the same thing. I'm on over 43 on Sam Houston State and New Mexico State as well.
I've watched almost every Sam Houston State game.
Good for you.
I think the number, it's being held against them that they played a really difficult schedule to start the season. Sam Houston State is making its move from FCS to FBS. They opened at BYU versus a really good Air Force team and lost by 10. They went to Houston and got beat pretty bad. But the offense finally woke up against Jacksonville State a couple weeks ago. They hung with Liberty at Liberty last week. I think this offense, this team talent-wise, is more an even playing field with New Mexico State. I expect there to be some points tonight. I also think for New Mexico State, they have a really good rushing attack. They're going to be able to run and get some points as well. 42 just feels like a very low number for this matchup.
I didn't touch this game. You mentioned Sam Houston State moving up. They were a very good team at the lower level, and let's see if they can get on track here. But maybe last couple of weeks, the offense gotten a little bit better. Let's see if they can continue that here.
So New Mexico State, they're fourth best in the nation, 7.9 yards per play. They can make things happen.
Dustin, I'm going to have to adjust those first to be a grandfather number. After you just mentioned you've watched every Sam Houston State game, I'm going to have to make me the favorite. Because, I mean, just by the fact that you said that sentence
The way it goes, I could either have friends and hobbies or I could watch Sam Houston State games, and I've unfortunately chosen Sam Houston State.
Yeah, you've chosen damage.
Or maybe people haven't chosen me as a friend is really the issue.
You're my friend.
We're long-distance friends, though. That doesn't matter.
Yes, we are. Let's move on. Let's close some tabs. Anything to close?
Yeah, I got some stuff. I got
anything
some
to
stuff.
Close out?
So you mentioned UNLV being undefeated ATS. Yes. That would be correct, and they are covering games by 12.6 total points. The other teams that are undefeated ATS, Oklahoma is 6-0. Oregon's 5-0. Rutgers is 5-0-1. Penn State is 5-0. So five teams
undefeated ATS so far this season.
There you have it. Anything else as far as the tabs?
Yeah,
big guy?
We were talking about Jaleel McLaughlin, the backup running back with Scott for the Broncos. 9-for-68 versus the Jets on Sunday, 7-for-72 the week before. He might be stealing Javonte Williams' job. Apparently, he went to Youngstown State. I did not watch a single one of the Penguins' games last year, so I didn't know he existed.
So you, how many Sam Houston State games did you get last year?
None.
Yeah, I was going to say.
More Sam Houston than Youngstown, though, in two years. Scott mentioned singing with the band The Coasters. They sang songs such as Yakety Yak, which we all know.
Back.
Down in Mexico, I don't think I know. Charlie Brown. That bad bet. No, it's Leroy Brown. I don't know Charlie Brown.
Leroy Brown's Jim Croce. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Young Blood, which sounds like something that Young Thug might have written. Run, Red, Run, Little Egypt, and Poison Ivy.
Down in Mexico sounds like a bad road trip with you and Matt Humans. You know what I'm saying?
One of us might not come back, or we'll need penicillin after.
Runners on first and second. Top of three, two outs for the Braves. They played at one. Let's see if we can get a couple more with two outs. Anything else? Close tabs.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier Aaron Nola named appropriately because he's from New Orleans, but very odd in this matchup. Bryce Elder's last name is incorrect because he is actually the younger one in the matchup.
I knew that was got. We saw that coming from a mile away. All right. Sounds like we're running out of steam with the tabs.
That
huh?
was where we ended. That's all the tabs
yeah,
we had
so.
For today. I buried that one in my back pocket, and I was hoping I wasn't going to have to go to it.
You didn't realize Amal was going to fall asleep in this segment. So.
No, I'm just like sitting here. They're already going up to the mound to talk to Nola. I'm like, you're consistent in competing against some of these teams at home. That's the only reason.
All right. Want to talk potato chips?
Yes, I do. I do. Let's go top 10. Let's talk potato chips, big guy. Now, you've looked good in the graphics, and Michelle has always done you well. You're starting to look a little emaciated here, which is interesting because you are talking potato chips,
yeah.
But let's get to it. Top 10 potato chips as per the big guy.
And my rule was it's got to be one per brand, so I can't have multiples of all, let's say, Lay's chips on this list because I am a little biased. There's one chip that makes an appearance today that there's a chance they would probably have three or four on it. So number 10 was Terra Sweet Potato Chips. Number 9 was the Kettle Brand Honey Dijon. 8, Ruffles Cheddar and Sour Cream. And then 7 was Lay's Ketchup Chips, which really are only available in Canada, but they're fantastic, which brings us to number 6. Whenever I go to CVS, I seem to get this brand, and that's the Hawaiian Chips. Hawaiian Mango Habanero, they're awesome. They're spicy. They're full of flavor. They come in at number 6 on the list. And then number 5.
Hold on, I got to look. Wait, these are only sold at CVS?
No,
Hawaiian
no, but whenever
chips?
I'm at CVS, I usually end up getting them is all.
Oh, yeah. I've just looked them up. I know exactly. You know what? Had them. Delicious. Know exactly what you're talking about.
And then number 5. Look, if this list was just, I didn't make the rule if I can have unlimited from one brand, I think there'd be 4 or 5 different Pringles on here. I love Pringles. Always crispy, never greasy. Great commercials in the 90s I used to watch on Nickelodeon. My favorite Pringles flavor is barbecue. I think they have the best barbecue chips in the market.
Pringles are legit. There's
it's the old ad. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you can say negatively about Pringles.
We got a situation. Right, you don't have the Braves game on, do you?
No, I'm watching it on my phone.
Well, the problem is he's ahead on his phone than we are on the TV. Because last time he told us about the strikeout, I was like, oh, damn.
No. I think I'm actually – am I behind you guys?
What no. You're ahead. You're definitely ahead.
2-2 count, runners first and second. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, 2-2.
Yeah. Because last time you said he got out of the inning, and I was like, oh, I just knew that he struck out in the 3-2.
I hate to break it to you, but he just got out of the inning. You guys can now tell me what happened. We got a minute to go.
We're still waiting. Struck him out probably.
Yep. 3 straight breaking balls to Ozuna.
So Ozuna just struck out, runners first and second,
horrible.
Two outs.
He's got 4 left on base already.
Nola got out of it, got out of the damage. But it's kind of like one of those things, once the well opens for Atlanta, I'm okay. I'm fine with it because I'm going to get to the top of the 9th as well. I know I'm getting those 3 outs there. So let's go. Need 4 more to go over that team total. Okay, boys, great job. Fun show today. Coach Aliotti, we want to thank. Who else did we have?
Steve
Jeff Lowe.
Berline.
Jeff Howe.
Steve
Jeff
Berline. Howe. And, of course, Scott Spreitzer did a great job as well. How about tease us tomorrow's show here on Sharp Money? Who we got, big
Andy
guy?
Andy Staples going to join.
Oh, no kidding. Looking for one of the great college football writers. We'll see him tomorrow. Along with you. We'll see you tomorrow.